Okay. Let's go ahead and get started. I'm going to drop the agenda in IRC. So Angus, if you receive the agenda email, then you might see a link for connecting to the text chat and IRC channel. There's not only do we take minutes there, but sometimes people will type other comments there and whatnot. So if you have that, go ahead and actually, duh. I was just dropping the agenda link in the IRC channel, but it occurred to me you can't see it when I do that. Okay. All right. We're having some interesting audio issues this morning. All right. So once again, here is the agenda. And let's go ahead and get started with the actually, we need a scribe first. So let's see. Who's the victim today? I mean, volunteer for today. Let's see. Joe, when was the last time you scribed? Was it recent?
It was a long time ago.
Long time ago.
I guess I can do it.
So let me just ask, though, are you in the Do Not Correlate Flag discussion big time? I've missed a lot of the last few weeks, so I'm trying to catch up here.
I'm not, although I had intended to be.
Okay, Joe, if you could scribe and then Manu will take over if you know if you need to speak. That would be great.
Okay.
Thank you. And I'll make sure to update the scribe list so you go to the end after doing that. Who joined from area code 510?
This is Christopher Allen, and I'm just getting up to speed. I'm not quite logged on yet.
Okay. Welcome. All right. So the, let's see, scribe channel. Okay. So the first topic is agenda review and introductions. The agenda again, whoops, sorry, copied the wrong thing here. The agenda is actually in the chat topic, but it's also here. Does anyone have any comments on the agenda that was sent out? Any recommended changes or additions?
I'm still trying to find it. Was it sent?
So I just dropped the link in three times.
Oh,
did
okay.
You know what? I think you joined IRC right after I dropped it the last time.
Okay.
So there, you see it now?
Yeah.
In IRC?
Yeah,
okay,
it's also
sure.
the topic,
yes.
So it should, depending upon your
it's also
IRC
the
client. Yeah.
Okay.
Right, if you're using irc.wb3.org, any IRC client, you should be able to see the topic. And I have it there. Who joined from area code 515?
It's Richard.
Welcome, Richard. And someone else just joined. Linton? Is that Matt? Okay. Thank you, Manu. All right. So, no comments on the agenda. Okay. Then let's do introductions. So, Sean, I believe you're joining us for the first time. Would you like to just introduce yourself, say a little bit about your background and why you're here, and what you hope to get from participating in the group?
Sure. This is my second or third call. I work at Evernym on the consumer product team. I love the concept of verifiable claims. I think it's super important. As somebody who right now is in the middle of getting an apartment in New York City, I wish to God verifiable claims existed because it would make my life a lot simpler dealing with these landlords. And I'm going to stay muted because I have Snowmageddon happening outside of my house and a convoy of trucks and street sweepers and stuff. So, but thanks for having me.
All right, thanks. Okay. Anyone else visiting the first time? I don't think so. Just checking.
This is Angus. This is my first time.
Oh, you're Angus, welcome, of Angus. Course. I'm sorry. Thank you. Angus, no, could right, you please introduce yourself? Sorry.
Yeah, sure thing. Angus DeCrepney. I look after blockchain strategy for financial services at Ernst & Young. I've been working on separately I've known Christopher for I think a couple of years from the industry, and identity is a very strong thing for us, particularly in public self-sovereign identity is of great interest. I've been working on what essentially you guys are working on here separately, verifiable claims public blockchain system. So I was very eager to get involved here and very interested to partake. So thank you very much for having me.
Thank you and welcome, Angus. Okay, anyone else?
You just joined from area code 425?
That's me. This is Kim Duffy from Blockfirst and Murray Machine.
All right, thank you. Okay, so let's move on to the verifiable claims work group creation. Matt, would you be willing to give an update on that? I think you've been most recently involved with that.
Sure. I think Richard, feel free, or Manu, feel free to jump in also. We're in a cycle here with W3C management reviewing and discussing the results of the comments from the initial charter review. There have been a couple of tweaks suggested to the charter, and it's back out to membership review right now. We've had recognition that there's high interest in this. There was quite a number of sort of positive responses, approvals to move forward. There were a couple of I think we touched on these in the past. There were a couple of people who were against the creation of the working group based on some concerns around privacy primarily. And so that's still kind of where we are. I think the privacy issue has been updated in a nice way in the new charter. If you are a member of W3C, you can get access to that. I think there's a link somewhere. Maybe someone can find it and drop it into the IRC again. There's a bit of discussion about scope in the group. We've always had there's language in the charter that says we'll focus on payments and education. That's always been there with other industries as participation directs or substantiates, and so there's some debate going on, I guess, about which of those three might be the right focus for this group, and that might be an interesting thing for us to just opine on. If you were a fly on the wall and were lobbying payments, education, multi, other, as a kind of industry focus, be kind of interested to hear this group talk about that for a minute.
So is that something that you would like to just add to the agenda?
I think we could add it to the agenda or just have it be part of the working group update as part of this section. It's up to you.
Okay, let's just do it quickly, but keep it just to a few minutes. So first person on the queue is Manu.
Yeah, so it's limited what we can talk about on the call today because this is a non-member call. So we have to be very careful about what we say. But basically, what Matt said, you know, we're waiting for folks that feel that payments are an important part of this work to pipe up and say something. Because if you don't say something, the charter will go forward as is, which is without payments. So the good news is that I think we've had a number of organizations coming in and saying, no, wait a second, we think payments are very important for this work. Please keep that in scope. And that's really the only concerning thing about the revised charter. Everything else, I think this group can work with without going into any of those details. So yeah, if you got an email, you have to be a member to provide feedback, but if you got an email from me, it is very important that you get your feedback in today before tomorrow, as tomorrow may be one of the times that they make a decision. I think they're going to delay it based on the amount of feedback that they've gotten over the past 2 days, but make sure if you want payments to be in there to get your feedback in today.
Okay. Anyone else want to talk on this topic?
I'm filling out. I'm writing my letter as we speak.
Very good.
Yeah, Richard, this is Sean Bones from Evan, and we are internally going through that to possibly pipe up.
Okay. Anything else?
I'm not on internet. Can you put me on the queue? It's Richard.
Hey, Richard, yeah, just go ahead, Richard.
Just as a brief point here, just to remind everybody, we started off, you know, in the payments group. And the reason we did that, the reason we wanted to do this was because we felt, those of us in education, felt that we wanted to attach ourselves to the security and the verifiability and the quality of the solutions that would come along with payments. And we wanted the synergy between payments and education credentials to be extant in our work. So we'll be sending something in to that effect. That's it.
Okay, thank you. Just a quick reminder, there is no meeting on March 28th. Anything else to be said about that, Matt or Richard? Okay. Moving on. So there's a topic here. Again, I'm sort of catching up. I was away for a while, so I'm going to just open it up for the do not correlate flag discussion. Those of you who know what this topic is about, feel free to put yourselves on the queue and we'll get started. Okay. So I see several people. Okay, Manu?
Right. So unfortunately, my computer's on fire right now. I don't have the link to the issue, but there's an issue if someone can find it. There's an issue in the data model tracker that talks about do not correlate flag. This was just, unfortunately, I don't have a proposal yet, but I wanted to kind of give everyone a heads up on what the proposal is probably going to have in it. A lot of the criticism over the work so far has been in the privacy aspects related to it. And therefore, you know, people, I think some people are falsely accusing us of not caring about privacy, right? And as a result of that, we've put a heavy focus on privacy analysis over the past 2 months. Actually, we've been doing privacy stuff for a long while, but over the last 2 months, we've really focused on it. One of the outcomes here is that, you know, we know that verifiable claims can be used for the entire range of privacy needs, the whole privacy spectrum, all the way from pseudonymous usage of verifiable claims to incredibly strongly identified use of verifiable claims. And we don't have a mechanism in there yet, in the data model. I'm not even talking about the protocol. I'm just saying at the data model, there's no way for someone sharing these verifiable claims to say, I do not want to be correlated or I am only authorizing you to use this information for this purpose, right? This technique or this mechanism has been called many things. It's been called like consent receipts before. It's been called anti-correlation measures. So the point here is that we need to be able to express that the person handing over the set of verifiable claims does not want to be correlated, and that there is a cryptographic kind of receipt of this. This is not a technical solution. This is a small technical bit of a larger solution that is going to have to be political, right? Meaning like this flag is unenforceable unless there are laws in a country that make it enforceable. The European Union and the GDPR stuff, you know, could kind of help in that area. I don't think the U.S. has anything even close to that, so this flag is effectively going to be useless in the U.S. until some legislation's passed. But the point is that we should start down this path of providing the technical means for someone to say, I do not want to be correlated. I don't want my information to be used outside of the system to be sold as advertising and things of that nature. So again, you know, I feel that this is a pretty charged topic that could potentially consume a lot of the working group's time. And so we have to be very careful about how we bring this up and how we talk about it. But it's a way of pushing back against the whole, you know, we don't care about privacy rhetoric that's you know, happening with some of the people that don't want to see this work happen. So I'll leave it there. It's just an opening to the conversation. You know, does the group want to work on an anti-correlation flag? And if so, you know, what are the things we should be wary of and look out for in working on that?
Thank you, Joe. You're up next.
Yes. So, Manu, I really appreciated how you just framed that, especially some of the things in terms of what I would call purpose binding, or I don't want my information to be used outside the system. My concern with the name of the flag is that correlate itself is incredibly vague, less so about its enforceability. But I feel that sometimes just correlating information with itself within the context of, you know, I'm 6'4", and so don't correlate 6'4" with me, it actually, I don't even know what that would really mean. So I like the general intention. I think maybe focusing on, you know, how do we do purpose binding? This is, you know, ways to attach, here's what the use is. And I think that's also the language that's aligned with how GDPR and the EU is thinking about it.
Thank you. Sean, you're next.
Sorry, muted. Yeah, so Nathan and I had a conversation about this earlier. While I see the parallel to do not track, not having some kind of consequences, as Manu just pointed out, like even if it's just policy consequences are an issue, I think revocation doesn't solve for this, but it is something that can help. And also, you know, we're looking at pairwise identifiers and actually preventing correlation from the start, and that's something that we're thinking about.
Thank you. Christopher.
Yeah, so I have a similar comment, which is our roadmap is to be able to offer anti-correlation approaches or compatibility with anti-correlation approaches such as Microsoft's Uproof, maybe Identity Mixer. Sovereign has approaches to that, and there are even SNARK approaches to that. So I'm kind of uncomfortable with the flag. I'd almost rather reverse it, which is to say this is allowed to be correlated or something, and to just basically say, you know, in general everything else is not or something. I don't know. I think it's going to be the cryptographic technology that is going to be the real answer to this thing. I'm not. I also agree with Joe that renaming it might be appropriate. I'm not sure purpose binding is the exact right one, but I also think that's another factor. That's it.
Manu?
Yeah, I wanted to dig in a bit deeper on what Sean just said with respect to pairwise identifiers. But before that, I mean, I think I agree with what Joe said and what Christopher said. I think anti-correlation is probably a bad that's a bad phrase, word. And I agree with Christopher that we may want to have a please correlate me flag. I think the flip of that is good. The concern I have is that we all are always broadcasting something. Like by default, we're saying do not correlate, or you know, do not whatever, do not correlate. And then there's the ability to say I'm okay with you correlating me because you're not going to provide a service for me, like for example in the prescription use case, unless I allow you to do that. So yeah, just general agreement with what other folks said. But I wanted to dig in a bit into what Sean said with respect to, you know, pairwise identifiers. I've heard pairwise identifiers used in a variety of different ways, and I want to understand what you mean, Sean, when you say pairwise identifiers.
Sean, no one else is on the queue, so if you want to just go ahead and answer, that's fine.
So yeah, I think Sean will maybe jump in on this.
Go ahead, Sean. Nathan jump in, probably because it takes me 2 minutes to actually unmute my phone. Go ahead, Nathan.
So the basic idea here is that a relationship is represented by an identifier for both sides of the relationship, and if you want to choose to correlate data with another person in a particular, you can choose to use the same identifier, or you can choose to use a different identifier so that the data becomes or transfers through a separate channel. And this allows the people who are involved in this discussion to intentionally correlate the data with a particular identifier or intentionally maintain it as separate from a particular identifier. And one of the fair criticisms of this is, depending on what kinds of data you're transferring over this connection, you could correlate the user based on the data that you do send, but it leaves both sides of the relationship with clear intent as to what data they expected to correlate and whether they're expecting to use the same account or a different account. And part of our belief is that allows the user to manage what kinds of correlation is intentional, and then also allows them to monitor how much data they've transferred over any particular connection, and that gives them some control over whether or not they're going to disclose the kinds of things that they believe are highly correlatable. Sean, does that sum it up pretty well?
Yeah, thanks.
Okay, Manu?
Right, so thank you. So the other question I have for the group is, you know, I think all of us would love it if there was a clean technical solution to this correlation problem. I think Digital Bazaar's position right now is that there is not. We tend to be fairly skeptical about there being a good technological solution to this, partially because the amount of digital fingerprints we leave behind as we surf the web or move across the internet, it's just so much. We're just pumping out data to these websites. So, you know, unless you're using like, you know, pseudonymous identifiers with verifiable claims and you're using Tor and you're not sharing any kind of personally identifiable information like birthday or zip code, and you're able to mask your IP in the right way, it's fairly easy for people to collude and correlate you. And specifically, I mean advertising networks. Advertising networks have very sophisticated mechanisms for correlating people, and they work really, really well today. And I haven't seen the technology proposed by this group or any other group that would be able to defeat those mechanisms in play today, right? So I feel like, you know, using tech, I haven't seen a technology that's capable of addressing the main form of attack today, which is, you know, the ad network tracking mechanism and correlation mechanism. That doesn't mean that we shouldn't work on those technologies. I'm just wondering if, you know, this anti-correlation flag is the kind of legal sledgehammer backup to what happens when these technologies fail, right? I think Joe put it beautifully in one of the issues, and I cannot remember where it was, but I think, Joe, you effectively said, you know, privacy violations only happen when privacy expectations are not met, right? There are certain times where I'm totally fine being correlated in a certain way. Like, for example, if I pick up a prescription for an aging parent, like I expect the state to provide some level of control over how that drug is distributed, right, to prevent drug abuses of certain kinds. But if I am logging onto a website just to use a music streaming service, like I don't expect to be correlated if I'm just using, you know, a pseudonymous identifier to log in. So being able to be explicit in that might be, you know, it's just another, you know, it's like security. Like security is like an onion, you have many layers. I think privacy, we may be able to say privacy is like an onion, you have many layers, right? We have multiple protections on privacy. So we've got pseudonymous identifiers, we've got pairwise, you know, identifiers. You know, maybe we have, you know, Tor-like browsing, but I wouldn't count on that. And then on top of that, we have this legal do not correlate mechanism. And when you apply all of those together, you have a better privacy profile using all those things together than you do using any one of them.
Thank you. We've actually reached the end of our allocated time for this discussion, so what I'd like to do is I'm going to freeze the queue very soon. I will let Christopher and Joe speak, but I want us to start moving towards a decision of what is the next step we need to take on this rather than continuing to discuss today. Christopher.
Yeah, I guess I have no problems with being able to refer to, you know, some type of agreement or document or whatever that makes certain kinds of statements regarding to the use of the data, in the sense that, I mean, it's not just correlation. It's also things like, you know, a consent receipt is required or, you know, point to some HIPAA stuff or whatever is out there. I think that as far as, you know, a way to refer to the hammer is more than sufficient. Whereas it feels like the, you know, when you have it as a flag or something, it feels like that's a protocol thing. And I'd rather if it's sort of out of scope of the protocol. And again, I recognize we're a data formats group and we're not talking protocols. I'd rather have it as a reference to to a document or something. Or to a web, you know, to a web resource.
Thanks.
That's it.
Joe, you're up.
Okay. So, Manu, I really like that you brought up the advertising network. I think this hits on my biggest concern about the flag. Is it, although we could tag a particular claim that we could share, it's not going to address all the detritus that isn't wrapped in a verifiable claim. So it feels almost like a false positive in terms of, yes, we can solve it by saying this is, if we say do not correlate in the claim, it's going to fix everything. But I like Chris's proposal that you know, maybe the a good option would be to link to terms of use, which would let us deal with purpose binding or whatever regulatory frameworks we want to invoke.
Thank you. Any suggestions on next steps here? Manu, I'll go ahead.
Yeah, sorry. I'm going to make a suggestion on next steps along with this. So
I thought you might.
I think I'm getting a clearer picture of what the proposal could look like based on Joe and Sean and Nathan and Christopher's input. So thank you for that. We could potentially have something like a Creative Commons licenses for privacy. I have no idea if something like that exists. But keep in mind that the data model we're using is a very link-friendly data model, and we can be very specific about linking to terms of service. So I can write up a proposal where that is effectively what we're doing. We're saying the terms of use for this set of claims can be found here, and then that can lead to machine-readable and human-readable legal code, just like Creative Commons uses machine-readable and human-readable code for their licenses. That feels like the start of a solution to me. While we also work on, you know, making sure that we can, protect people. The first line of defense is the cryptography and the technical mechanisms. And if that fails, we have this as a backup. Let me put together a proposal as a pull request, and we can get some reviewers on that and ask for feedback. So I think that's the next step. I'll put together a pull request.
Can you write that as an action for yourself, Manu?
Yes.
Just in the IRC. Thank you. Just a quick check to make sure no one objects to that as a next step. It's not saying that we're cutting off all future discussion. Okay. All right. Thanks. All right, everyone. So the next item on the agenda is Web of Trust use case. Anyone like to chime in here? I don't know what was planned for discussion. Christopher, go ahead.
Sure. There's actually two sort of issues on this topic, and I'm trying to find them. If somebody has the issues thing, there's one that's sort of the story document, which is the use case story a child of refugees who wishes to participate in and not endanger her family and other refugees, who eventually is able to transition into, begins with, pseudo-anonymous identities, is able to establish a reputation and protect herself and her families. So there's that particular story, but the story was somewhat to try to drive what I call the PGP use case, which is not in the use cases repository. It's in the data format, data model repository, where I'm sort of getting down to, okay, what are the very specific, peer-to-peer minimum things to be able to replace the PGP and sort of the weaknesses of PGP in the Web of Trust model. And these are very applicable, not just for pseudo-anonymous and whistleblowing and all that kind of stuff, but PGP is being used for signing files, making statements about code quality. SSH similarly has a sort of a trust on first use capability, where once again a verifiable claim could be useful. I want to, at least since these are the ones that are low-hanging fruit, developers might be able to use them sooner than later. We can learn and do peer attestations sooner than later. I'd like to see actual examples of the data models that support these in there. So there is both the use case story and the Web of Trust data formats issue to move forward. That's it.
Thank you. Anyone else?
I'll look up those. I'll look up those.
Go ahead, Christopher. Sorry.
I'll look up those specific issues and post them now that I'm not talking.
Thank you. Okay, Manu.
Right. So Christopher, Joe, Adam, Sean, Nathan, and myself met last week to talk about this stuff. It was kind of rooted in the, you know, what quick technology demo can we put together for rebooting Web of Trust that demonstrates progress on actually shipping code behind the stuff that we're talking about. So this is, you know, these are real products going out in the market. This isn't like some kind of esoteric academic discussion we're having about verifiable claims. So one of the things that came up that we might be able to act on in the next month and a half is this Web of Trust use case that Christopher mentioned. Our company has a digital wallet that is going into production very soon, like in the next month. We have demos of this out there. And we looked into adding Christopher Allen's suggestion that we do a Web of Trust use case, specifically the PGP, you know, I'm a person, and I assert I'm a person, and then Christopher asserts that he asserts the same thing as well, and that we kind of countersign each other's claims, say, you know, I am claiming Christopher's a real person, I've met him in real life, and Christopher's claiming that I'm a real person, he's met me in real life. So extending the digital wallet to do that is going to be a bit shaky by April, but we think we can do that, which is great because then that provides this kind of, you know, PGP. It goes a step beyond what PGP could do. Okay, so that's kind of a little more background on that. So this is an attempt to get working code out there and shipped so that other people can play around with it. The other thing is a follow-on on that, right? So PGP is a really, like, geeky thing, right? And a lot of people, you know, that use PGP are fairly technically adept, or they understand quite a bit about you know, the usage of digital signatures and privacy and that kind of stuff. So I'm wondering if we can then extend the rebooting Web of Trust demo into something that developers could use. So for example, you know, code signing is a fairly big thing that people care about these days. GitHub is a very large developer network. So perhaps there's a mechanism that allows people to start making statements about other GitHub users, right? Meaning like we've met each other in real life, or I assert that this person is a really good Node.js developer or JavaScript developer, and then kind of build that Web of Trust thing using a model that already is there, right? Like the GitHub is already kind of like this peer-to-peer collaboration platform, but as far as I know, there's no way of digitally attesting, things about people on that network. I'm wondering if we could add some really quick, like, plugin or thing to GitHub that enables verifiable claims to be used by developers who are very, very early adopters, doing things like self-assertion of claims. Anyway, it's just an idea to build on top of Christopher's Web of Trust use case that would get this technology in front of more people that are technical.
All right, thank you. Anyone else? At this point, it would be good to decide if there are any specific next steps. I know that you suggested something, Manu, just now, as you know, something to try. Is there anything really sort of officially we need to decide as far as next steps?
This is Mono again. I don't think there's anything this group needs to do other than be aware that we're going to try to get this done by or at rebooting with a trust.
Okay.
Yeah, I mean, I'm also open to other, I mean, part of the thing that's very unique about this use case is it really emphasizes the desire by this community to have everybody be a peer rather than a more hierarchical where you have some people that can make statements and other people who can't. So, you know, I'd be curious, you know, maybe from education or from the other types of use cases, are there some specific things where peers are doing things, where people are maybe in education saying, you know, I took a class with somebody and, you know, we both partnered on, I don't know, I'm looking for sort of where there are some good examples of statements that are made by peers about each other or have to be acknowledged by the recipient for them to be really considered to be fully valid, where there's these two-way connections rather than a one-way claim. So I would like to know if there are more.
Okay. Thank you. We'll consider that a general request. Okay. Anything else on this topic for today? Okay. So we're getting to, you know, semi-administrative, but this is really just a follow-up for previous action items. If you go to the list of running action items that I dropped the link in for. The first one in the list is Manu to work with Kim on blockchain open badges use case.
I failed miserably on following up on that again. I'm so sorry, Kim. But Kim is going to be hopefully at Rebooting Web of Trust, if I gather correctly. Is that right, Kim?
Yes, that's right. I will be there. And yeah, so I was thinking I could start by sort of distilling some of the email conversation we had originally into something specifically we could solve with, you know, block certs and verifiable claims. So I'll take a pass at that sometime this week, and shall I just email you about that?
Yes, please. And if it's something that you can share with the mailing list, I think that would be even better because
okay.
You'll get more engagement that way.
Sounds good.
Thank you. On the next item, chairs contact W3C membership regarding working group creation. So I will go ahead and just summarize here. The chairs are in contact with W3C membership. I think this is actually supposed to be staff.
Correct. Management. It was supposed to say management.
Yeah, right.
It's a typo.
Right. We are in contact with W3C staff and management now. It's an ongoing process. So. I think we can leave this just basically until the working group is created, but we are in active communication with them now. Let's see. Dan, please assign reviewers for PRs on use case. Yeah, so nothing there. Okay. Again, catching up from a few weeks of other conflicts. Joe Andrew to review NIST privacy template in the context of Adrian Gropper's prescription use case.
I'm excited to say I've unzipped the file. That's as far as I got.
That'd be great. I like that in the status. We'll put that. File has been unzipped. Okay. If you're okay with it, Joe, we'll ask you again next week.
Yes,
you know,
please do.
Just to see if you've gotten farther than the zip file. okay. Manu to invite UPort to group to talk and demo their work.
So I've spoken with UPort and invited them into the group, and they're very interested. They're trying to figure out how to do the whole W3C dance right now to get into the group officially. I did not specifically ask them about a demo of their work, but I would imagine that they'd be happy to do that once they're in the group. So that's in process.
Okay. Thank you. Last item on the agenda is, just a second, I wasn't ready with my copy-paste here. Is any suggestions for agenda for next week? Obviously, the chairs will come up with an agenda for next week, but are there any topics that anyone is particularly interested in? Ideally, ones that we're already working on, but they just could really benefit from some actual, you know, live discussion. Manu.
So there, like, it's conference season, and I know that a number of us are going to a bunch of different conferences to talk about verifiable claims or things close to it. So, you know, there's the Web Payments Interest Group meeting that will be talking about digital offers, which we're hoping to build on top of verifiable claims. That's in 2 weeks, I think. And then after that, there's, you know, things like rebooting Web of Trust. After that, there's a Connexus meeting, which is a National Association of Retailers, but they basically are looking at verifiable claims for digital offers again. Before that, there's WWW 2017 in Perth, where we're going to be talking about verifiable claims. After that, there's IIW, which will be, you know, the Evernym folks are going to and are going to be talking about, you know, decentralized identifiers and potentially verified claims and a variety of other things. So all this to say that, like, every week from next week out to the end of May, we're going to have presentations on verifiable claims. So perhaps this group should, you know, if those that are presenting want to run your slide decks by the group for feedback, I think that would be a good use of, you know, 15 minutes of the hour. But I don't know how many people. Sorry, I don't know how many people have slide decks. I know we've got like three. But if anyone else has them, please, it'd be great to talk about it in the group.
That's a good point. I think I like the idea of targeting 15 minutes, you know, some really quick review as opposed to an entire call. But I think that would be good use of time. If anyone has such presentations they would like to give or review with the group, please feel free to, you know, either send email to the mailing list saying that you'd like a time slot to do that, or email the chairs or whatever, and we'll make sure you get in. Christopher.
Yeah, I just wanted to say there are multiple conferences going on. So, you know, I'm going to Financial Cryptography, IEEE Security and Privacy, Security, Privacy and Blockchains, et cetera. So there's, you know, quite a few events happening in the next month, you know, all over the world. Of course, I would love to meet with other verifiable claims people at any of events that I'm attending. But I also feel like it's going to be a bit of a challenge to participate in these meetings in April. So I will try to communicate on the list if no place else.
Thank you. Joe.
Why did I put myself on the queue?
Maybe you were checking the queue and hit the hook.
Go ahead. No. I just wanted to check in with regard to the Yoram demo feedback I had given. I'm guessing, Manu, time is going to be really the biggest issue with that. I don't know if we wanted to talk more about that, so I just want to give you an opportunity to
I haven't had a chance.
Let me know what's next on that.
I haven't had a chance to even read the email that you sent to the mailing list.
Yeah.
I'm sorry. I will, and we'll try to respond. But you're right. Time is the issue. With all this stuff.
I mean, I would like to see it published, in the Rebooting Web of Trust before the next Rebooting Web of Trust, so that we can at least have it as a reference to point to. In fact, Angus, who's just joined the call here today, I wanted to point him to the document, but or his organization to the document, and you know, it's not available yet. So I'd really like to see it at least maybe get to 0.1 publishable form or something, and we can do a Joram 1.0 later or something. I don't know.
Yeah, I definitely share that goal. So, Bob and I want to get that wrapped up.
Okay, thanks. Anyone else? Anything else for today? Okay, all right, group. Thank you very much. And we'll talk with you in a week.
Okay, I did have a question just not for the group, just logistics about the script.
I'm here.
Oh, man. Yes, go ahead.
Do I need to do anything else with this, or is my real-time note-taking all I need to do for the scribe role?
You're
done.
Good. You're done. I'll take over. Thanks, Joe. Great job.
Okay, great. Sure.
Thanks, Joe. We appreciate it.
Okay. Yeah, you're welcome. Bye, guys.
All right. Bye, everyone.